Welcome to Real Estate Coaching Radio, starring award-winning real estate coaches and number one international best-selling authors, Tim and Julie Harris. This is the number one daily radio show for realtors looking for a no BS, authentic, real-time coaching experience. What's really working in today's market, how to generate more leads, make more money, and have more time for what you love in your life. And now your hosts, Tim and Julie Harris.
We are back, and today is part two of how to lose phone fear, that's aka call reluctance, forever. And this is part two, so if you've not listened to part one or watched this over on our YouTube channel, the information is waiting for you. Now, I have to say, if you didn't listen to the first part, the second part's not going to be nearly as beneficial to you, so please do go back and listen. And a quick reminder, thank you for all of you who are signing up for HarrisRealEstateDaily.com. That is our daily newsletter where all the long-form notes for this podcast are going to be exclusively featured. In other words, a lot of you guys use our notes for teaching your agents, for building your teams and providing social media content. A lot of you are using that. Though this is, I think, better for use, these notes are better for use when you're educating yourself, but also educating maybe your team members, new team members, all that good stuff. So do get that information. We will email it to you every single day, hot off the press, but you have to be a subscriber to HarrisRealEstateDaily.com. And it's free, doesn't cost you anything. We're in the midst of creating a whole bunch of exclusive content just for HarrisRealEstateDaily.com. So join the community, doesn't cost you anything, and take your relationship with us and our relationship with you to the next level, HarrisRealEstateDaily.com. So Julie, we are on part two, efficiency and effectiveness.
That's right. We're getting rid of your reluctance to prospect, to proactively lead generate, to have those conversations. So efficiency and effectiveness, again, make sure you listen to part one. This will make more sense. Part number one, understand your conversion ratios and focus on maximizing your productivity. We touched on this a little bit yesterday. We can't deep dive on a podcast, but we can expose you to what we're talking about here. Understand conversion ratios and focus on maximizing productivity. Aim for a ratio of one qualified appointment for every 10 contacts. Again, we do have many coaching clients and certainly the coaches who are even better than that. But shoot for one qualified appointment for every 10 contacts and track your progress to identify areas of improvement. If you're struggling with this, it could be for several reasons. You're calling a low conversion ratio lead source, like we talked about yesterday with cold calling. Maybe your scripts aren't very good. Maybe you're not closing. Maybe your scripts are great, but you're forgetting to ask for the business. You're just not resonating with the prospects. Now, a great coach can listen to your calls and save you a lot of time trying to figure all this out on your own. Sometimes it's more than one of these things going on at once.
We talked a lot about yesterday when a lot of you will take the bait of the seller saying some just erroneous comment, and then all of a sudden you're off your script and never set the appointment. But I want to really define what Julie said of the first sentence. So when you have a goal of setting one pre-qualified listing appointment, what's that actually mean? You've talked to the seller, you've used your appointment setting script, and then you've jumped to the pre-qualifying script because now you know what their motivation is, you know exactly what their time frame is, you know exactly all the things. That's, and you've obviously set the appointment. And then after you've set the appointment, you send the pre-listing pack and you follow our 7-step listing process. But the moral of the story is this is a system, this is a process. You can copy it. It's the easiest thing ever for those of you who have decided that you want your life simpler, not harder. Those of you who have decided you want to make more money, not less. Those of you who decide you want to help more people, not fewer. That's what this system is for. We theorize between yesterday's podcast and today's, we're probably going to have 30,000 agents that are going to listen to this or view it on YouTube, right? 30,000 of you, and what percent do we actually know from experience will take action at the highest level on this information? We're not unrealistic. We're not overly optimistic either because we've been doing this for a long time. Probably 300 of you. That's realistically how many of you are actually going to take something, use this information, go to the next level in your businesses and your lives. A lot of you are, we have probably 25% that listen every day that don't even have real estate licenses yet that are thinking about getting into real estate.
It's okay.
And now after listening to all this, banter about proactive lead generation and you feel like you have a clear path forward, you're probably more motivated than you ever thought you'd be because we've demystified all the Mickey Mouse that's being sold to agents. Oh, what are you talking about, Tim? You haven't mentioned a brand. You haven't mentioned a logo. You haven't mentioned a website. You haven't mentioned building my team. Because if you get really good, when you get really good at proactive lead generation, especially around listings, I have great news for all of you. That might be the only damn thing you ever choose to do because it's going to create consistent cash flow with very high profit margins. You can build your business around that and then reinvest the profit you have from your real estate business. That's what you need to give yourself permission to actually do. So start out with the goal of setting one pre-qualified listing appointment for every 10 contacts. A contact is a conversation with making a decision-making adult, and then the number will drop from there. When you start, be prepared that your contact to appointment ratio will be terrible, but it won't be zero, which is what many of you are experiencing now.
And don't give up. That's the most important thing. The more consistently you do this, the faster you're going to move forward. All right, point number two, stay attuned to market trends and opportunities, actively engaging in conversations about real estate. Use your expertise to provide value and position yourself as a trusted resource. You should know what's happening with inventory, interest rates, new construction, schools, and anything else that affects your local market. Why is that? Because knowledge equals confidence. You're way more likely to have those conversations, to make those contacts, to not have call reluctance when you have something to talk about.
Make knowing your local market an absolute obsession. Never be caught in a situation where anybody is going to ask you something that you don't already know. And don't have your local market be three streets, because then you're going to be stumbling over people all the time that know more than you do. Be obsessed with knowing what's actually happening in real estate. And then don't be surprised when you are realizing that virtually all the real estate experts out there, all the people that have crowned themselves as being, you know, economists or whatnot, you now know the numbers, you now know the stats, and you're realizing a lot of these people are absolute, complete frauds. And that's what happens because you have taken the time to become a true market expert. Be obsessed with the facts.
Well, how do you do that? Well, I think we've done a podcast about that where we talked about it. And we definitely mentioned it when we were teaching them about door knocking and things like that. So read your daily hot sheet. Your MLS pumps it to you. Maybe you can set it up and tweak it. I know different MLSs allow you to customize that a bit. Actually read it. It takes about 5 seconds. I read the one, I'm licensed in Texas. I read the Texas one every single morning. It takes me like 2 minutes to know what was listed, what's expiring, what's hot, what's not, all of that kind of stuff. And listen to podcasts like this and Housing Wire, know about inventory, know about your local facts.
So we sold over 100 homes our first year in the business, and all of it came from proactive lead generation. But one of the things that Julie did is she took a class at the MLS and had to actually use the damn MLS. Yeah. Now, she did that because knowledge equals confidence, ignorance equals fear, and she was she calls herself semi-professional musician. A professional musician is someone who gets paid for playing, and she got paid for playing. So the reality was she was a professional musician. She's just being humble. But that aside, when she was learning how to do, use the MLS, she was able to have superpowers that she could then bring to the table when going on listing appointments with regards to the CMA. The amount of data, especially nowadays, frankly, a lot of the MLS software programs out there are just extraordinary.
It's good
stuff. The amount of data that is below the surface in the MLS will blow you away. And if you're just using, a lot of you say, well, I don't need to learn how to do it, blah, 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 because I have this automated program. It turns out my CMA is for me. Well, you're using the same sort of approach, if not the same software as everybody else is. It doesn't make you special. It doesn't make you unique. You can't actually spot market trends. You don't actually know what's happening based on the effects of, interest rates this way or that way. You're only theorizing, guessing, repeating what you heard from somebody else. And by the way, the person you heard that was pontificating about the effects of interest rates on the market was completely unqualified to talk about it, didn't know what they were talking about. If the commission sharing lawsuits and all the talking real estate experts out there if they haven't proven to you how much false information there is out there about real estate, nothing will.
That's so true. So step away from the headlines and get back on the phone. Number three, initiate conversations using the Ford, F-O-R-D, conversation outline. Become an expert at conversations, talking about family, occupation, recreation, and dreams. That's what F-O-R-D stands for, to direct the discussion and keep the focus on the other person. I'm going to get some tea because that's my punishment for going outside.
You know, it's funny. Every time we talk about Ford on our podcast, we get a little email from Ford, the motor company, because they think it's trademark infringement. So we figured out if you put dashes between the letters, as you guys will see in the show notes, mm-hmm. those of your subscribers, we don't have that problem. Family, occupation, recreation, dreams. We've had so many people over the years who have come up to us in public and at real estate mm-hmm. events. This is like, there's probably six different things when Julie and I are approached at airports or on the street where people recognize us, where they always say, thank you for this, thank you for that. And this Ford conversation outline thing is definitely top three.
I would agree with that. It is like a superpower. It makes your conversation so much easier. And when you get really great at this, this is something that they do in Premier Coaching a lot. The coaches do. They have you write down three or four questions for each of those letters. Three questions for family. Did your family grow up here? Did they move? If they moved, where did they come from? What are your kids doing in school? There's an endless supply of family questions, then occupation questions. When you get really great at that, all of your other scripts become easy, because this is, I think, probably the easiest one, and you will get results because, after all, the O is for occupation. They're going to ask you what you do, or they're going to ask you how's real estate, opening up the conversation.
But the secret power of knowing how to have a conversation using the Ford outline is that you're not talking about yourself.
Correct.
And I got bad news for all of you. Nobody, look, I'm just going to say this as I'm thinking it, and I'm not going to try to nerf it up for you. Nobody cares about you. They all care about themselves. I'm being overly direct, but there it is. That's the truth. When you're talking to somebody about yourself, they're waiting for you to stop talking so they can talk about themselves. So if you want to make yourself memorable, if you want to make yourself influential, if you want to put yourself in a position where you can build relationships, don't talk about yourself. And when you're using the Ford script conversation outlines, politeness will dictate that you do have to, you know, offer some information about yourself, but shut up and go right back to having them talk about themselves. Now, why does that benefit you? Obviously, you're going to form relationships, but here's the interesting thing that it does. You know, it's called je ne sais quoi. There's something about this person that you can't quite put your finger on. They have this special aura about them. You guys have heard all this before. Well, if you really drill down and think about what the hell is it about that person that makes them so attractive, because Julie and I, you know, thought about this forever, it's always because they're good conversationalists. They could look like a toad, but if they're good at asking questions and making you feel good when they're talking to you, you're going to gravitate towards them. Think about it in your own situation. You're going to go out to, I don't care what it is, some sort of event where there's 50 people there. It's not a real estate event. It's a fundraiser. It's a something like that. It's a social occasion. It's a thing at your church, whatever. You walk into the room and then there's Bob over in the corner. Sorry, Bob. Bob over in the corner, who every time you talk to him, he always just talks about himself, about the fish he caught, about the money he's making, about the blah, blah, blah. Bob loves to talk about Bob. Now, on the other side of the wall, other side of the room, you got Sally. Last time you talked to Sally, you walked away feeling charged, motivated, excited. Why? You never really thought about why do I love talking to Sally. You only remember you love talking to Sally. So you're going to avoid Bob and you're going to go talk to Sally. Now, why are you doing that? And why is it that you're attracted to Sally? Because Sally listened to our podcast, and last time Sally talked to you, she actually was asking you questions, showing sincere interest in what you said, did not talk about anything other than you. That makes you feel special. Think about this. When was the last time anybody showed sincere interest in you? When was the last time somebody asked you a question that wasn't transactional or didn't feel transactional, right? Can I help you kind of thing? But then they listened to what you said, to Julie's point, and then they asked you a follow-up question and a follow-up question, and now you're having this amazing conversation with this person you just met about your favorite topic, which is yourself.
Full circle. You know where else they're going to learn this? When we roll out the interview series, because you do a great job of this as an interviewer, asking questions, listening to the answers, and really drilling down and getting to know the person that you're interviewing.
And avoid saying things like, I had that same experience.
That's just like the time that I...
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're giving you advanced coaching on Ford here. But when you hear yourself using personal pronouns, I being the big one, when you hear the word I coming out of your mouth, like Julie was just talking about me doing these interviews, it is literally revolting to me to be in a position where I have to talk about myself for more than a millisecond. And when I'm being, or Julie's being interviewed for anything, another podcast or whatever, and they ask us to talk about, the one rule that I have is you're going to do the introduction. You're going to say these 3 to 5 things that basically are, you know, high points of our, you know, decades long career. And don't ask me to talk about myself.
Do your research. Yeah.
Do your research. And if anybody comes to a podcast or anything like that, and they didn't prepare with a little brief introduction that they're going to read about me or read about Julie, and they ask me, so tell us a little bit about yourself, I always say the same thing. I'm husband to Julie, father to Zoe. And then that's it. I'm not going to talk about our success. I'm not going to talk about all the rest of it, because you don't care. That's why. You only care what I say, what benefit it's going to have to you. So what I'm going to do is not talk about myself, not talk about my highlight reel. I'm going to go in and focus on what I could be saying to potentially help you guys. You guys conceptually understand where I'm going with this. Avoid the personal pronoun I. Avoid the temptation to talk about yourself. It is plague to the people you're around.
And some of you are routinely losing listings, you know, listing to appointments. You're going on the appointment, but you're not being the one that takes the listing because of this very thing. We're talking about it in terms of making the initial contact. This coaching also applies to presenting to someone. Again, to your point, they don't really care that much about you. They care about what you're there to do for them.
Okay. I have a great example of this. So you and I went over to someone's house today before we went to the gym. Mm-hmm. And we've known these folks for 5 or 6 years, right?
Yes.
They live here in our community. Mm-hmm. And we knew something about what they did. We knew about their family and know about the whole thing.
Yep.
They didn't know jack about us other than we're parents to Zoe.
I know, that's true.
I mean, but that's us being us, not wanting to talk about us. And we don't sell real estate, so there's no downside in us, you know, wanting to make them feel amazing every time we talk to them. And he asked us, so what do you guys do? And I said, real estate. And he goes, well, what aspect of real estate? I said, you name it, we do it. And then Julie immediately pivoted and asked him about a t-shirt he was wearing.
Yes. Yeah. That comes from Ford, really. All right. Point number 4, allocate your time wisely, dedicating 90%. I know some of you guys aren't going to believe what we're saying here. Dedicate 90% of any day that you don't have appointments to proactive lead generation activities. Identify the most productive times for phone calls or door knocking and stick to a consistent schedule. That's right. If you don't have a buyer or seller appointment today, 90% of your day needs to be creating new leads. It is your number one job.
You know, I said transactional conversations, but that triggered something in my mind.
What's that?
You and I were talking before about the different types of friends.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be great for us to do a podcast on that.
That is a great topic. I'm trying to remember. There's several people that coach that, teach that, talk about it. It is a mindset point, but I remind me as soon as we're done that I will do that. I want to say it's Aristotle that started it, but that sounds super nerdy.
We should definitely talk about it on the podcast.
I will.
Because there's definitely a weirdo subset that would appreciate
that. It is very interesting, though.
I agree completely. It helped me, actually, when you told it to me.
Yes.
All right, so we're moving on to point number 5, and this is under the subcategory organization and growth. Remember, all of this is available to you as a Harris Real Estate Daily subscriber. And, of course, coaching clients and Premier Coaching, you get all this information as well. Of course, you get the information in Premier Coaching on steroids because of the fact that you're going to be coached to all of this. And this is just an overview of all the stuff you get in Premier Coaching. Premier Coaching is free for you to join now. Just go to premiercoaching.com, premiercoaching.com, or click the link below in the show description. Point number 5.
Point number 5, track your results. Stay organized and disciplined in your lead management and follow-up efforts. Use CRM systems and tracking tools to monitor your progress and prioritize your most qualified leads. When you're involved in Premier or Elite Coaching, you'll always know if you're on track, ahead, or behind your goals for the quarter and the year. Why? Because we teach you how to track this.
Okay, now I like it when you and I are in agreement about things. Personally, if you're really wanting to be efficient at lead generation, mm-hmm. dry erase boards.
100%. Why? Because it's visual.
Right.
And that's a whole section in Premier Coaching called whiteboards or wipe off boards and visual accountability. You can't hide out from whiteboards that are staring at you in your office. And we literally teach you that wherever the white space appears is where the work needs to be.
Well, I mean, Ziggy was great at that. And Ziggy's interview, by the way, is available exclusively to those of you who are Harris Real Estate Daily subscribers. Of course, you knew I was going to say that. Mm-hmm. All the interviews are coming out probably next month. But she showed us on the interview, she showed us her dry erase board. She had 1 through 15 as far as she's supposed to have 15 listings at all times, according to her real estate treasure map, which mm-hmm. is her business plan. And she had, these are active listings.
Yep.
And she had 7. And so she, she was showing the viewers that she has, 1 through 7 with an active listing attached to the, 1 through 7. But, the rest of them, that she had no active listing attached to them.
But that literally is telling her what to do.
In the white space, she was saying what a psychological, a reminder it is to do what she doesn't want to do when she doesn't want to do it at the highest level. So she walks into the office and she's being constantly reminded that she's supposed to be have 15 listings at all times to meet or exceed her financial expectations. And what's going to happen? She's going to walk in. She's going to see the pressure. She's going to get on the phone. She's actually going to generate those 15 listings and have 15 listings at all times. By the way, she had 8 or 9 pending.
Nice job.
I know.
That's fantastic. And that is what's supposed to happen to them.
And that's in a hot seller's market. And it was almost all listings.
That's great. I love to hear that. All right. Number 6, dress professionally. Always one notch nicer than whoever you will be around. Have 3 to 5 work outfits that you feel comfortable in for presentations and showings. Upgrade your haircut, your glasses, your shoes, your watch, pens, and tech to ensure a great first impression and ongoing impressions. When you do this daily, why is this part of the proactive you know, overcoming phone fear and conversation fear, is because you're way more likely to have professional conversations if you look like a professional. Some of you do not open your mouth out in the wild about real estate because you're running around in your joggers or your, you know, you don't feel like the professional that you'd like to be.
I think it's really telling when an agent asks, how should I dress selling real estate? I think it's interesting because there's debate about this. It's so insane. Here's a simple question, dear listener. How do professionals dress? If you went, now Hawaii aside, where everyone's in flip-flops, we've been there, yes, you know, many times. But if you are in a professional environment, say going to see your dentist, and he's walking around in board shorts and wearing flip-flops, I mean, are you going to let that guy work on your teeth? I'm going to guess no. Think about any level of professional. Now, why a professional, even a suit, but looking nice, dressing, you know, a couple notches above what the expectation is, it's like a suit of armor. It makes you feel confident. It makes you feel like you're a professional, like you are going to respect the time that you're going to spend with that prospect. In my opinion, and I think a lot of you will probably agree, that if you do not dress professionally and look professionally, not only do you not deserve the business, but you're disrespecting the person who set aside time to meet with you.
100%. So that's easy to fix, isn't it? You should all circle that point and make sure that you are taking that to heart and doing something about it. Point number 7, celebrate small victories and maintain momentum in your prospecting efforts. Focus on consistency and gradually increase your lead generation activities to achieve predictable and duplicatable results. Some of you just making those first contacts this week because you've been freaked out about this and you've overthought it, that's the victory. Others of you, like Ziggy, know that you make 5 contacts, you're probably going to get your next listing appointment.
Well, yes, focus on, celebrate the tiny victories. The tiny victory is you listened to this podcast and you didn't hurl. The tiny victory is you're going to use the link in the show description today and you're going to subscribe to Red X because they're going to be a great source for expired listing leads for you. Scroll down below, click the link, you save $150, no brainer, next move. But even after you subscribe, you know, the next big victory is going to be you're obviously in Premier Coaching. By the way, if you're in Premier Coaching and you're not using our scripts, you're missing really what the essence of Premier Coaching is. So make sure you're printing off all the scripts, you're putting them on your wall. Okay, the putting on the wall, that's a small victory. Mm-hmm. The subscribing to Red X is a small victory. Having gotten through 2 days of listening to us basically, you know, beat you over a head with a bat about being a proactive lead generator, that's a small victory. Now, you've gotten enough small victories if you're listening to us at point number 8 and you've done those other things. Now it's time to get on the phone.
That's right. Even if it's the first time you've called a for sale by owner, getting through half of the script, understanding what you're doing, learning to listen to what the other person is saying, having a nice conversation, scheduling a follow-up call. These are all small victories that lead to the bigger victories you're looking for.
And don't, when you're doing the real work of real estate, know it's supposed to be, it's going to feel harder than you think it should be. It's going to require more psychological, you know, manipulations of your mindset than you think it should. It's going to be you doing long periods of doing what you don't want to do when you don't want to do it at the highest level. Expect that. Embrace it. Why? Because you know, you do know, that virtually nobody else is going to be willing to do the amount of work, put in the amount of effort to become the best version of themselves as a real estate practitioner. When you're putting in the work, when you're actually doing the real work of real estate, you're actually becoming a proactive lead generator. You're starting to take listings. What you're going to discover was that it was, you know, when Julie and I say being successful in real estate is actually fairly simple and straightforward, and it's not this big complicated, you know, hellhole of, you know, moving parts, you're going to realize what we've been telling you for decades is true, and you're never going to look back. You have completely rewired your brain with regards to your potential. And then you're going to start realizing how many different ways you've been holding yourself back. And you're not going to do it anymore because now you've set yourself free where you are in control of your destiny. Every single day when you wake up, you're going to be able to set a proactive lead generation appointment with a prospective seller. Every single afternoon, maybe you take 4 out of 5 listings. You guys get it? You're going to start helping more people, making more money. And how you're going to feel as a result is really the only, that emotion only happens. You can't fake it. You can't fake influence your way to feeling this feeling. You can't buy your buyer leads into feeling this feeling. Once you earn that feeling, you literally are a different person. And you're going to radiate that energy and attract more of the same to you.
Very well said and very true. It's what some of our favorite coaching calls are when a client comes to the call and says, you're not going to believe what happened. And they're so excited and we can hear it in their voice that they now have wings. And now it's like a superpower.
And they don't go back.
No, you can't go back.
You can't go back. You don't remember how you used to think. You don't. You might stumble across somebody else in your life that thought like you used to think, and that would be the only way that you actually can momentarily feel that emotion or that, you know, sense of that inferior, you know, brain activity that was leading you to lack of activity and lack of results. You will occasionally trip over it, but you'll then really realize how far you've come because you're actually willing to push your way through. I'll tell you in these last few points what I was thinking of, if you don't mind me saying. Mm-hmm. All right, so we're going to have Mitch and Robin, who are Navy SEALs, back on the podcast. Okay, that's I had them great. On a couple of years ago, maybe 3 years ago. So these guys weren't just Navy SEALs. They were Navy SEALs buds trainers. One of them was in SEAL Team 6. Mm-hmm. Those of you guys who know anything about military stuff know what I'm talking about. Well, I asked these guys during the interview, and this really had, really impactful effect on me, and I was so appreciative of the fact they were honest. So one of them, both of them seemed like super nice guys, low ego. I instantly liked them. I was very intimidated by them, but I instantly liked them. They were so, honestly, they were just the kind of men that I hope one day I can grow to be honest. All right, so I asked them a question, because remember, these guys were buds trainers. I said, do you encourage, and I had to kind of frame it up because I hadn't thought it through when I was asking, but I said, when you are a buds trainer and you have these guys that are trying to be SEALs and, they're going through the absolute, self-imposed hell that is SEAL training, and you see somebody who's starting to falter, do you go and encourage them, or do you encourage them to pick themselves up and try to revitalize their mindsets about their ability to succeed, or do you pour it on and trying to run them off? One of them said, the younger one actually said, that he absolutely 100%, when he spots weakness in any of the prospective Navy SEALs, he sees that they need to be constantly reinforced. He sees the fact that they don't have the mental fortitude necessary to even get through buds training. And even if they got through buds training, no one's going to want to have them on their team because these guys obviously don't have the mental, emotional fortitude to get through buds. He said he'll do everything in his power to run them off. The other guy agreed, the older guy, but he said, I will sometimes do little things to try to encourage them if they're just slightly off track. And I thought to myself, how does this relate to real estate coaching, what Julie and I have been doing? And I'll tell you what the true answer is. Most of you never realized that you could be Navy SEALs. Most of you never realized that you can sign up. And by the way, right out of high school, you guys can sign up. Well, those of you who are right out of high school, you can actually apply to be a Navy SEAL and even go to, to be considered a Navy SEAL, to go to SEAL the buds. You don't have the physical regimen. It's not that 20 pull-ups and you have to be able to run a mile in a certain amount of time. It's something that all of you, especially if you're 18, can figure out how to do. But what is it about the emotional aspect that prevents, even though physically everyone's qualified to do it, why is it that only some people emotionally can punch their way through? It's what I talked about yesterday with regards to Formula One drivers. What's the difference? The difference is where all the points Julie and I just gave you. The difference is you can't cheat it. You can't shortcut it. You actually have to do the work. You actually have to, I have to work on my mindset before I get into action. This is real estate agent talk, right? I have to work on my mindset. I'm going to go to read a bunch of books. I'm going to work on my business plan. I'm going to work on my dream boards, though we haven't heard dream board in about 20 years, but still, you guys get the idea. I'm going to do all these procrastinating things. You will never get through buds. You will never be a good proactive lead generator. So I'm going to end today's show with one prevailing thought. And I know this is not going to resonate with all of you, but I already know this topic is only going to resonate with maybe 10% of you. So I'm okay with that. Here it is. I hope when you start prospecting, and I mean this truly, that you have the same experience that some kid who's trying to become a Navy SEAL does. I hope you have your ass handed to you. I hope it's the hardest MF-er thing you've ever had to do in your entire life. I hope all the emotional demons come out, they chase you around the room, and you're all of a sudden facing down all your worst fears right there in front of you. All the head shit comes out.
As early as possible,
on your first freaking call.
Yeah.
I hope you pick up the phone and call the worst sadist on planet Earth ever. Hitler meets Satan. Okay. I hope that's your first prospecting call. Because here's what's going to happen. Julie thinks I'm going too far with her looks.
No, I'm saying to tell them why.
Okay. No, I'm not going to tell them why.
Okay.
No, I'm going to tell them why. Because you're going to realize that it wasn't any big deal. You're going to realize all the head junk you've had in your head about, being a proactive lead generator, allowing yourself to become the best version of yourself as a salesperson, you're going to realize it was all fake. All the things you told yourself, all the horrible emotions you'd feel, all the, you know, all the things, all the things made up, and you allowed other people to reinforce them. That's what you did. So you are allowing yourself to, you're choosing not to do the real work of real estate and experience the real benefits of being a real estate practitioner, which is, you know, in our opinion, one of the greatest businesses ever created, of being a real estate agent, not being a broker necessarily, but being a real estate agent. You're allowing your misperceptions of yourself, your irrational fears of what you could accomplish in your life to prevent you from essentially fulfilling your destiny of becoming a Navy SEAL, becoming the best version of yourself as a real estate practitioner, right? And so, yeah, if Julie and I were Navy SEAL buds trainers, she would probably be the nicer one, and I'd probably be the one that tried to run you off. But I want you to remember, when you get into prospecting, it's not like Bud SEAL training, okay? You're not going to drown in the pool. You're not going to have the lifeboat smash your head. You're not going to, you know, there's no cold and sandy in learning, though maybe we should start a real estate.
Maybe we should.
Yeah, maybe we should, right?
Give them some perspective.
None of those things are going to happen to you. The worst thing that's going to happen to you, are you ready? I'm going to tell you. Oh, my God. They're going to hang up.
No.
They're going to hang up. They're going to hang up the phone.
It's horrifying.
It's horrifying. So we're trying to be dramatic with the lack of noise. Hang up the phone, and then what happens? Nothing.
Nothing.
And then you're going to somehow, that's going to be what prevents you from actually being successful, being a pro. Oh, Tim, everyone in my market proactively lead generates. No, they don't.
They don't.
Oh, everybody's calling expired listings or FSBOs or notices of defaults. All that. No, they're not. Oh, the seller's going to be so pissed off at me because I'm the 30th agent to call. Well, be the first agent to call. We teach you how to do that in Premier Coaching. But also, there's not 30 other agents calling. This is all the crap you tell you. Oh, the big teams in my marketplace, they have their ISAs that are calling constantly to the expireds and trying to set appointments. They're terrible at it. Guaranteed. Call the old expireds. Call the more expensive expireds. You guys get the point? Stop believing that you can't do it because you can. And when you have that, when you do, and you will have an experience with someone that's ornery, rejoice, take a breath and say, damn, Tim and Julie were right. That was no big deal.
And it's not every call. It's like one now and then. It's hardly a high ratio.
And then when we're sitting around someplace and we're sharing war stories and you tell us about, you know, some lunatic that you happen to call one day, we'll all sit around and have a good laugh over it because that's what they'll become.
Well, I used to think, thank goodness they were so obvious about not wanting to do anything, and you didn't have to go over there and have a long conversation, then find out like two appointments later that they weren't really that serious anyway, or that they sent their representative to the appointment and they were actually really a nightmare to deal with later.
That's what we dealt with a lot.
I mean, thank goodness they were nice enough to hang up on you in the first place.
Well, so now I'm going to give you a little countervailing fact. The more ornery somebody is on the phone, assuming they're just not straight on sociopath, which there are a percent that are, but the more ornery they are on the phone, the better quality that lead is. Because why would somebody be emotionally responding to someone calling to help them sell their damn house? It's because they're in a financial they have a problem. The house didn't sell. They're embarrassed. This is how you need to shift your thinking about experiencing rejection. Somebody who raised their family in this house, maybe they built the house. This was the house that they were going to grow old in, and now they're old, and now they have to downsize. Their family is gone. They're off to, you know, different parts of the world raising their own families. So this is somebody who put their house for sale, a house that they had all of their emotional memories attached to. Every most important thing happened in that house, and the market rejected the house. They couldn't sell it. How would you feel in that experience? The market has told them their house wasn't good enough. Maybe the feedback was the house is ugly. Maybe it's this, that, and the other. How would you feel in those situations? So have some sympathy and some empathy for those people that are in those situations. When they act ornery, it's almost always their egos trying to defend themselves from feeling rejected. And when you get more efficient at this, when you get somebody that's acting like that, which will be, I don't know, maybe one out of 25, you're going to then know that that's somebody that truly needs your help, but don't allow them to treat you like a punching bag. If they're complete jackholes, hang up on them and move on. Because your mindset and your making contact, because remember, it's a minority of people that act like that. Why am I addressing this? Because this is the main reason why most of you don't proactively lead generate. Because you're afraid of a bunch of head junk that you've put in your head.
Which is largely manufactured. There is a little bit, as you were talking about, you are going to run into that from time to time. How do you know? I think this is related to what we're doing. How do you know the difference between somebody who's just a psychopath, abusive person versus somebody who's reacting a little bit aggressively because they truly need you, they're frustrated, they're emotional? Those are the things that you learn only by doing the work and having enough experience and enough contacts that you can kind of listen in between their emotions and you can sense, and this is where you do
experience.
It's experience. And you can say, you know, I feel like you're really frustrated by this experience. And maybe you're the only one that talks to them that said that. And then they're going to warm up to you and they're going to share exactly what's going on.
So, I mean, we're off in our own direction, but I'm going to share this with all of you too. So I don't want to do, when I'm coaching folks, okay, and I'm very selective on who I coach, but when I coach folks, everyone thinks it's going to be a video call. I never want to do a video call. And I'll tell you why, because I've done over the phone coaching calls for so long that I'm actually way better tuned in to picking up the noise between the words. I'm way better at intuitively picking up what I need to be picking up than I am if I'm looking at you. Because what happens is when you're looking at somebody, your eyes override your ears. So I want to eliminate the visual and then I want to focus in on what I can hear. And that's, and I'm sharing this all with you because it's also going to be true when you're prospecting folks, but you have to earn the right to really hone in on that intuitive skill to essentially read what's not being said in between the words based on all kinds of things. And that's going to come from experience, but you got to get there. You got to earn it. You can't fake it.
You can't skip it.
You can't buy your way to being at this conscious competence level, which is where we hope all of you fight like hell to get to as fast as possible.
Very well put. Very inspirational, motivational. We'll see what all of you do with it. Our job is to educate you, motivate you, and your job is to get into action.
Have a fantastic day. We'll talk with you on the show tomorrow.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.